As St. Paul is beginning his letter and addressing the Galatians, he's basically giving them somewhat of a biography of who he is, his life, what he's about, where he comes from, who he represents. And when we think about St. Paul, the word that should immediately come to our mind is evangelizer. Church fathers, popes have referred to St. Paul as the greatest evangelizer in the church. And so when we speak about St. Paul and think about evangelization, that should lead us to consider what we are about as far as being part of the new evangelization. So evangelization ultimately is about sharing the faith, right? And St. Paul was consumed with a zeal for this mission of sharing the faith to the point of death. And so as we consider, you know, evangelization, St. Paul, the new evangelization, we have to take a step back and look what about evangelization is new. Since, you know, evangelization is the heart of the church, it's what we are about, it's the essence of who we are, because it's about sharing the faith. You know, you kind of think about how essential or how much apart, how connected evangelization to who we are as Christians or Catholics. Think about a married couple, all right? A married couple who would go into marriage and make a decision that they are indifferent to whether they have children or they intentionally do not want to have children. They do not want to share that love. We would think there's something wrong there, right? There's something that's off there. And that would be, in fact, you know, as a canon lawyer and I'm judging cases, that would be a cause for nullity of marriage if I was deliberately intending not to have children. Why? Because it's so essential to what marriage, the content of marriage. Well, think about that in the regards to evangelization. There's this loving relationship that we're caught up in between us and God, just like a man and woman. And immediately, the next step out of that encounter with the Lord is to bring about new life, to share it with others. And so what's new about the new evangelization, or what's new about evangelization, is that the heavy emphasis on how the entire people of God are called to evangelization. It's not restricted to or relegated to theologians, sisters, brothers, priests, you know, those who have advanced degrees. Every single person, in virtue of our baptism, is called to evangelization. That's something new in the sense of the heavy emphasis on this. So taking ownership and identity and making that part of our identity, that evangelization being kind of the heart of what we are as Christians, as Catholics, and that we have a call, just like St. Paul. Now, St. Paul was the most successful of all evangelizers. No doubt. The way that he went out, you know, he proclaimed with zeal, and he was not restricted by any kind of suffering or persecution. He saw God in all things. What would it take for us to be successful like St. Paul? What was his secret? Well, if you look at that letter to the Galatians, St. Paul's talking about what? The gospel that I'm sharing with you, and he says gospel. Remember that the Greek word for gospel is evangelion, evangelization, right? Good news. The gospel that I have is not of human origin. It is a divine origin. So he knew that through and through, that the gospel that he was proclaiming, this good news that he was sharing, was not something that came from him, that it came from God. And then it's incredible how he goes on further. He says, God who had called me from my mother's womb. That he said his mission was already in the mind of God, that he was called. And so this sense of being called to share the good news was the most powerful conviction that St. Paul had. Well, maybe the second most powerful. The most powerful conviction that St. Paul had was that we know that he knew himself to be loved by God, okay? So then out of that, the conviction that he had a call. And so the stronger the conviction about that we have a mission, that we're called, like St. Paul, the more powerful we are going to be, the more effective that we're going to be in sharing our faith with others. And so, if you were the devil, what would be one thing that you'd want to do? If you were trying to undermine, the devil is sickened by evangelization, because that's the exact opposite of what he's about. He's going to try to undermine conviction about who we are as Christians, sons and daughters of God, and how we are, every single one of the baptized is called. It's not just relegated to a few special chosen people. And so, what are ways in which the evil spirit can undermine our conviction of, and our call to share the faith? Well, one of the ways, there's many ways, but one of the ways is, really, you know, as far as our culture is concerned, this kind of relativistic attitude of relativism, where what you say is right, what I say is right, we're all right, okay? And basically then, you know, nobody's wrong. And when you live like that, if you're right and I'm right, well, what work is there to do? There's no conviction to be had. There's no sharing that needs to be done, because you've got it already. You know, right? And so, although it's very subtle and it's attractive and it gives the illusion that we can all get along because everybody can believe what they want, right? It compromises that essential conviction that is so essential to successful evangelization. When we are convicted of our faith, we are going to want to share the good news. But we're going to have to remember, just like St. Paul, if we come with conviction to share something we believe is true and something that is good, there's going to be resistance to that sharing. St. Paul had a lot of resistance when he was seeking to proclaim the gospel, right? And especially during a time where conviction is about the only thing that's not tolerated, right? If you believe that you have the truth, right, because it's not of human origin, it's divine origin, that's something that the culture will not accept. And so there's going to be resistance there. And we as Catholics, we have to talk about this a lot, this new evangelization. And one of the new components is that the emphasis on every single one of the baptized is responsible for sharing the faith, is because that's not the way we were raised. We were raised to live our faith in a much more passive way. Remember, you know, I talked about pray, pay, and obey, right? Take a back seat. But this is completely the opposite. That's why the Second Vatican Council talked about much more active participation of the faithful in the life of the church. And that's what it's referring to. And, you know, I could give a whole other homily, on how do you actually evangelize, what it looks like, you know, in your day-to-day life, and maybe we'll save that for another time. But today, the point I hope we can just take home is a deeper appreciation that every single one of us, as baptized, just like St. Paul, are called to share and spread the good news. This is why we have the opportunity to be living in an incredible, wonderful time for the church. Because instead of just a few people in whom the evangelization and spreading the faith depends upon, like, you know, theologians and some catechists and some priests and nuns, if we really get it and embrace it, that it's entirely the people of God's work, look at how much more powerful of a force it will be, a force to be reckoned with in the world. And so this divine call is infused into us at baptism by the Holy Spirit. And so, as we continue forward, brothers and sisters, the next thing that we do in this Mass is we profess our faith. So let's today, you know, we profess it every Sunday, but let's today profess it with a greater level of conviction that we truly believe. Brothers and sisters, let us stand and profess our faith.